response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Welcome back into Sports Talk this Tuesday, the August 25th, getting closer to the Saints preseason finale. That's Friday, 7 p.m. right here on WWL Saints Radio. We'll have that for you. Looking at some of the news around the NFL, Douche, we opened the show talking a little about some injuries. You mentioned Cincinnati Bengals receiver Ja'Marr Chase. Well, he told a radio station in Cincinnati that he is fine after the injury scare, saying it was just a hyperextension of his knee and nothing serious. So thankfully for him, Cincinnati Bengals fans, and any fantasy football owners out there as well, the former Romo Rada is doing just fine.
Yeah, I mean, because if you go and look at that video, that does not look pretty at all. And, you know, we just know, last year you're the Triple Crown.
Right.
I mean, you're the Triple Crown.
I feel that didn't get talked about enough. Was it basically because Cincinnati was not really relevant?
They didn't win.
Yeah.
And so that's why it didn't get talked about enough. I mean, but to be able to do that and have that type of scare, and I know if you're Cincinnati, you're thinking, man, my star quarterback goes down, and now I'm about to lose my star receiver. You know that they were just – you're talking about holding their breath that nothing is wrong, but – apparently he's okay, and so he's a big impact. And you talk about from a fantasy standpoint, and the Romo Raider, and you know LSU Tiger, just the things that he can do on the field. He definitely makes a huge impact to their team, and the fantasy owners, they can breathe a deep sigh of relief.
Yeah, especially if you've had your draft already. I like doing my fantasy draft after preseason games.
Well, I don't have a preference, so.
Chase did say, he told the radio station as well, that he was trying to get back into practice. I was trying to get back in, y'all, I promise you. So things definitely looked a lot worse than the outcome was, thankfully for him. But, man, it's, you know, things are crazy sometimes. You see players being able to walk off the field, and then you find out later on it is a season-ending injury.
Well, the one thing, and this is talking about a guy that walked off the field but still had an ACL injury. I knew the first time. I didn't know. The second time, I knew it was
– what it was.
Yes, because I had experienced it before. Yeah. But the one image, because you never know if you will play again, I don't want my last image to be me getting helped off the field or me not being able to walk off this field. I want to walk off this field on my own. And some of that is adrenaline. Some of that is, you know, just being able, you're hyped up, you think you can go and play. Because, I mean, I literally jogged on the sideline, you know, after the first knee injury. I'm like, I'm good. I'm fine.
Wow.
I can put a sleeve on and I can go back in and play. And so the doctors was like, no, we have some concern. We're not doing it. We're not putting you back in. The next day you get your MRI and it's ACL.
Looking at another running back, going to go check out the Las Vegas Raiders. And head coach Clint Kubiak, the former Saints offensive coordinator, said today, didn't want to go into details about running back Ashton Jeanty. He's just on the mend. That's another concern for any of you fantasy footballers out there as well.
Definitely a concern, but they think and feel like that they definitely dodged a big one there. And, you know, you hear conflicting reports, whether it was ankle or knee. But they basically at this point, and since they don't have to give any true
injury report
during the preseason, that's all you really have to say. He's on the mend.
Yeah, I would know famously Sean Payton was like, don't ask me anything to the regular season. And even then, I'm not going to answer you.
I'm not going to answer you. We'll put it out on the first, you know, what Wednesday.
We'll get back to you.
Yeah, we'll get back to you. And whenever you get the injury report on Wednesday, you know, that's when you'll kind of know.
Looking at other stuff around the NFL, obviously the wild story with the San Francisco 49ers and their owner, Jed York, seeing that he used a pseudonym and responded multiple times in fictitious ad for a prostitute prior to his arrest in Ohio over the weekend. Supposedly contacted the ad three times before this happened. What are you doing, man?
If I can just – if you see me, I'm just shaking my head. That's Jed York. Apparently, he's from that area. He grew up not far from that area, and so all you Steve,
he knew where to go.
You have to go read it for yourself. We won't give opinion. We just report the news on that one. How about that? No, no opinion given. Jed York, he did get the charges reduced, though. I'll put it that way.
Looking around, also some local news at least. Man, college football's been burning. LSU and Lane Kiffin just seemed anything that they do seems to ignite the flame over there.
Well, we talked about it a little bit in the opening hour, you know, and I know we have Zach coming on later on, but I think Lane has struck a nerve or two, you know, because you hear some, you know, Notre Dame, what their thoughts are. You hear, you know, Ole Miss, what their thoughts are. You hear what Georgia and what their thoughts are. Each are a little different. But at the end of the day, as Coach Kiffin has talked about, his job and his coach's job are to make sure that they are not only getting their team better, but any avenue available to improve our chances of winning games, that's what they're going to explore. And that's what they've done. Now, whatever your opinion is of how, whatever avenue, rule, whatever way we do that, you can have an opinion for it. But how the rules read now, that's how they've played the game.
I think the biggest problem people have is just how is this? Not that LSU is doing it, but how is this considered legal for college sports?
And here's the thing. It took LSU and a current player, I don't want to say high-profile player, but, you know, a current player that, you know, Lane has a past history with, Coach Kiffin has a past history with, for it to truly come on the radar for news personnel, radio hosts. But apparently there are over 100 other student athletes in similar position, not just football,
right?
Other sports
exactly
that are in similar positions. And we heard very, very little. Now, maybe shame on us, but maybe it didn't directly affect our teams that we were covering, and so it wasn't on our radar as high. But
well, not just us even. I feel like the nation.
Well, no, I'm just saying I can't speak for other, you know, what other guys talk about. I can speak for what we talk about. Since it did not affect the teams that we cover,
right?
You know, it wasn't high on our radar. But we have paid a lot more attention, and this has gotten a lot more attention since it is the LSU Tigers and since it is Lane Kiffin, you know, potentially adding that player or two to the roster. Now there's this uproar of people that are saying, oh, no, it's not right, it's not right. Well, what about the other 97 or so individuals?
What about those players, right?
Yeah, there was – maybe not as much of a fuss about that.
I did laugh at the statement, too, that the Big Ten put out today saying that, oh, they're not going to allow players to return from the NFL.
Yeah, which probably has some – it's probably valid. You know, and I think what is the Big 12? Are they the Big 12 still, or did they change the name again? Is it the Big 12?
Big 10.
No. Big 12. The Big 12 is still the Big 12. I mean, they add so many teams. I don't know if they call themselves the Big 12 or whom they call. But where I was going with Texas Tech and Sorsby, their quarterback, how it took, you know, almost like a lawsuit. You had the lieutenant governor getting involved in that situation.
Right.
But at some point, Texas Tech finally backed down and, you know, there was – you had the NFL and CFL kind of putting out a statement saying he's not eligible or we're not holding a draft. If you're going to be suspended, you're going to be suspended. So it took a lot for that to kind of happen and unfold because we do know that there were some lawsuits filed and, you know, some injunctions handed down, something similar. So for those leagues, particularly the Big Ten, to put out that statement like they did, as we both know, all it takes is one lawyer and one player to kind of file some type of suit. And once you have the injunction in place, I don't know how long they get to last, whether it's 28 days or if it's a season, you know, because you look at Pava and his injunction that he had, and you look at even Trinidad,
yeah.
you know, Chambliss and his injunction that he has, you know, and so it's an interesting time, I'll put it this way, in college football.
But now, it seems like every week the rules are changing.
Well, the rules change, and you know who gets hurt? You know who gets hurt in this whole process?
Are you going to say the players?
Well, it's definitely the players, but it's the high school kids. It's the high school players that get squeezed. They're the ones that get hurt. Because if you're not the elite, the opportunity for you to move up and to go up gets slim and slimmer and slimmer.
Yeah.
Because most of those coaches, I'm shopping at the transfer portal. You're not ready to contribute immediately, so now the opportunity for you to come in and play, they've dwindled.
Folks, we're taking a break here on Sports Talk. We'll get into more of our Saints discussion after this. Matthew Paris, Saints beat reporter, coming up next here on WWL Saints Radio. Keep it locked right here.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into WWL. Next up for the Saints, Friday night battle with the Cowboys in Dallas. We have got you covered. 3 p.m. First Take with me and Charlie Long. We'll get things started. Then the countdown to kickoff with Bobby Hebert will take over at 5 o'clock. Game Time with Deuce and Haas, along with Jeff Nowak on the sideline. 7 p.m. After that, the Point After with the Cajun Cannon till 1 a.m. Saints Cowboys coverage right here on WWL all Friday. Keep it locked right here on WWL and the free Odyssey app. Looking forward to that matchup, wrapping up the preseason play. Thankfully, exhibition play will be coming to an end, helping us talk about the black and gold and all things that's been going on in Saints land. Matthew Paris, the beat reporter for the Times-Picayune and the Advocate, joining us here on WWL right now. Matthew, how you been doing? I know you didn't expect going into this season, I guess, to need like a doctorate degree to cover what's been going on with Saints injury front.
Well, fortunately, I got my doctorate in 2024 when all of these injuries were even worse. So I'm well-ventured on hamstring injuries and soft core issues and everything else the Saints have been dealing with.
We learned today, obviously, you know, injured reserve going there with Ty Chandler, the running back, and also Malik Imadeval. Really unfortunate for guys that had showed some spark for this team in the preseason.
Yeah, both guys had been having a pretty good camp. Obviously, you know, Ty Chandler had that unfortunate fumble that I think maybe, you know, who knows how it would have influenced the cut-down final decision. But now the Saints don't have to make that choice. You know, his season is over with a pretty serious knee injury. And Malik Imadeval, that's really unfortunate too. But, you know, I think his injury specifically changes maybe the math elsewhere on the roster. You know, I thought they were going to keep four tight ends. Now I think they'll probably only keep three, and that opens up a spot maybe elsewhere for somebody else.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Matthew, I just wanted to get to thank you for coming on with us. But I think, you know, when you look at overall roster, I think the health of this team at certain positions may make you keep a player or two that normally would not have been the case in point in instance, or when you think about it. Look at the interior of that defensive line. What are your thoughts there? I know Christian Miller returned today as far as practice was concerned, but give me your thoughts there with, you know, John Ridgeway being hurt. You already lost your first rounder from a couple years ago, Brian Brzee, you know, in that position. Just give me your overall thoughts on, you know, and what that position looks like and where they may go, you know, whether it's keeping everybody that you have there, or do you go outside of the building to be able to make a trade and or add someone else to that rotation?
Yeah, I mean, coming into camp, I thought that was going to be a real logjam in the sense that, you know, you think back to last year where they traded Colin Saunders and you're kind of thinking, all right, are they going to have to do that again? Is someone going to be a surprise cut like a Devon Godshaw or anything? It really hasn't panned out that way because of the injuries, as you mentioned. I mean, Vernon Broughton has really stepped up nicely for Brian Brzee. Like, I think the Saints are going to be okay there. But with Ridgeway's injury, that really is, it's interesting. Does it create an opportunity for a guy like Christian Boyd to make the roster? I think he's done a pretty nice job in his absence. I also think I wonder if, the Saints have so many injury candidates, but you can only really store two guys on injured reserve on cutdown day without actually affecting the 53. So, Jordan Tyson will be one of those spots. And how do they use the other is really interesting. Is it Ridgeway? Is it Devin Neal? But, if it's Ridgeway and not Neal, do you keep five running backs and then place Neal on injured reserve, once cuts are officially set? There's a lot of ways you can manipulate the roster, and I think it's things that the Saints are looking at.
You mentioned the running back room right now. Looked like, we talked about this earlier, me and Deuce, the fact that it looked like you had some depth there going into the season. Now it's a question mark because so much of that depth is banged up. They bring in Zamir White. What have you seen from this back from the loss? We know from mostly with the Raiders, had a limited time there with the 49ers. Hard to even call him part of that team. But now here in New Orleans, what have you seen from him and what can he provide with this team?
Yeah, I thought today, it was really brief. He, you finish your runs at the after every run, he was just kind of running to the end zone and doing that sort of thing, maybe to make an impression or show that, he runs hard. It's really interesting. Like, I don't know how much of a chance he has to make the roster. I mean, clearly Deion Jones was on the way out. It felt like a we need a body for a body trade. Like, the Saints were shorthanded at running back. The 49ers, I think, were banged up at linebacker, and that they obviously have to get through the preseason. So I'm not sure what it meant for the actual 53-man roster, but if he impresses in Friday's game, maybe he sticks around on the practice squad or that sort of thing.
Yeah, and I think really if he impresses, but also you don't get some other guys banged up. And so for him, right, it's to be able to go and show that, hey, I can come in on short notice and run some of the plays that you guys run and give you a little something. And so, yeah, it may not be the actual 53 just because Tom may not be on his side, but be able to get on the practice squad and then put yourself in a position. Going back to what you talked about as far as the injury reserve and then being able to use those two spots, one of the things that you can kind of manipulate the roster is you don't want to expose a young guy that can be claimed off of waivers. So if I have the option to maybe release a veteran player until I can put another player or two on injury reserve that may be a young player, that would be one way that you do it, just because you do have some injuries, so many injuries, and you need to be able to fill that roster out. But I don't want to expose one of those young players. Just give me your thoughts on doing it that way as well.
Yeah, I think if you look at, if you want to talk about specifics, I wonder if a guy like Terrell Burgess, it could be a candidate for that. I mean, you think about last year, he made the practice squad. He's a veteran safety. I think they ended up calling him up or signing him to the roster in week two. That this year, if you cut Burgess, that would maybe allow you to keep Lorenzo Styles, who's dealing with a calf injury and is out for the long term. Maybe he then goes on IR, you re-sign Burgess, and that's part of your DB room. He's the guy that those two are the immediately come to mind of that. But elsewhere, I'm not sure. Maybe defensive end. But I think Anthony Jennings has done enough to make this roster. Obviously, he didn't play in this last preseason game, which I think is a good sign for him.
Matthew, I know you recently just put out a 53-man roster prediction, who's in, who's out, entering the final week of the preseason. Curious your thoughts on the quarterback position. I see you have Tyler Shuck, Spencer Rattler, and Zach Wilson all making the team. Do you feel any strong way towards Rattler or Zach Wilson being that number two guy right now? Is it still just a coin flip considering Wilson had a pretty rough outing the last game against the Rams?
Yeah, I don't. I think it is a coin flip still. I mean, today they rotated with the two. They're not really running the threes out there because they're so injured that the threes have now become the twos. But, that they rotated with Spencer Rattler going first, then it was Zach Wilson and vice versa for the backup. So I don't think that, the winner has been decided by any means. My gut tells me it'll be Rattler, but I think, injuries – also, this is injuries on the roster, specifically at wide receiver. Like, if you had asked me before camp or as camp was going on, I thought they would have kept six receivers. I think they'll only probably keep five right now. And so that's a spot where I think you can afford another quarterback because of, you know, injuries that have happened elsewhere.
With everything that you've seen from this team to now, how much have your thoughts on who they can be or what they will be this upcoming season has changed?
You know, I still think, like, I went into this thinking that they'd compete for the division. Nothing has really changed me off that. I really, you know, I thought as camp was starting and some of the offensive struggles, you know, you were thinking, like, all right, the Saints were the 26th total offense last year. If they're going to win the division, they probably have to be in, like, you know, average or in the teens, and oh no, what happens if they only like go from 26th to 22nd? I think I've moved off that concern a little bit. I think they'll still be in the teens somewhere. I feel better about the offense even with all the injuries that have happened. So I still think they have a shot to make for the division, and I also think that has also partly to do with kind of the NFC South and every team kind of being in the same stage that the Saints are in right now.
Looking again at your 53-man roster article here, you definitely predicted the kicker situation, I think, correctly, with kicker not being on the roster. We know the Saints go out and they add one to the team, and I'm just curious, how do you think things are going to shake out now between, I guess, the practices, a preseason finale, and deciding between three guys who ends up being your main guy for week one of this season? It's just, you know, people think about the kicker position maybe not being that important, but, man, it's a huge void right now that I really have no answer for.
Yeah, I mean, I would be shocked if it wasn't Daniel Carlson. I don't think you bring in a guy like that of his stature to bring in this late just to be a camp body or to scare Charlie Smith or Tanner Brown into performing better. Like, as long as Carlson doesn't blow it and – you know, tomorrow's practice or our Friday's preseason game, you know, I think this is his job to lose at this point.
And last one, Matthew, I'm just curious if out of all the players, maybe a new addition or some of the rookies, has there been a guy that's really, I guess, wowed you or stood out that has impressed you so far through training camp in the preseason?
Yeah, Bryce Lance, I think, is the first guy that comes to mind for this. You know, if you had... you know, it seems like Berrien Brown had his week in the sun,
yeah.
But really since then, Bryce Lance has kind of really had a nice stretch of training camp here. On his birthday, that joint practice against the Rams, he caught two passes in the red zone. And that's the thing that stuck out to me is I don't know how much Bryce Lance will be on the field once the regular season begins, but I think you can put him in specialty packages, whether it's the red zone, whether you're putting him on the field to chuck it deep. Like, I think there are different ways the Saints can use him, even if he's not playing 70-60% of the snaps.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing how much action he gets in tomorrow's practice at Tulane at night. Thanks so much for the time, Matthew. We'll be seeing you out there tomorrow.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Matthew Parris, Saints beat reporter for the Times, Picayune, and The Advocate, joining us there. And yet, it's always tough when you're trying to put together 53-man rosters because maybe not so much from what we've seen, but like, how many guys do the Saints want to keep at certain positions, I guess, is the biggest piece of the puzzle for me that you don't know.
Yeah, and the other part of it is it's not necessarily your initial roster or your main roster.
Right, right.
It may be because of the game that you're playing against, and offensively, this is what we need. You know, look at it from the tight end standpoint. Yes, it probably would have been good to have four, but I think that they're fine if they have three and they can call up a guy, you know, as far as practice squad is concerned. And so little things like that definitely make a difference. You know, and I think he said he had him keeping five. I can see, you know, certain scenarios, and now Tyson is included in this, you could possibly have seven. But now Tyson is on IR. In that version of it, and so it just depends on how you want to construct it and the health of all of the positions across the board. I mean, because if I have to dress an extra offensive lineman, then that changes some things.
We need some good gree-gree going, or good juju. I guess gree-gree is not anything good, but we need some good luck with the Saints with these injuries right now, because every day or every game, it seems like something new is popping up with this black and gold squad heading into the preseason finale on Friday against Dallas. Just want to come out of that unscathed and ready for week one at Detroit. Going to take a break here on Sports Talk. You can sound off on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line 504-260-1870. Let us know what you're thinking. We'll be back with more of Sports Talk right after this.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk here on WWL. Been talking a lot about Saints black and gold. We're going to look a little bit about the division right now. Curious, what do you think an Atlanta Falcons are going to do right now at their quarterback situation? I know there were high hopes for Tua Tagovailoa to be their starter. Penix is still on the mend. I know that he's being cleared to return to full activities. But that competition, it's curious to see how things shake out there because I don't know. You look at, I think we've talked about it a ton here too, that the Falcons have a very talented roster offensively, but the biggest problem is the signal call, the guy calling the shots.
As the former head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers once said, we do not care. We actually do.
I was going to say, sure we do.
We actually do care, but we do not care. That was Mike Tomlin in one of his non-emotional responses.
I wish them all the misery. That's fine.
Well, here's where Atlanta is. Had a chance to listen to some sports talk radio with Graffinini, with Todd. Atlanta is preparing for a top five to potentially top 10 pick. They are getting their fans ready to pick in the top five and top 10 of next year's draft.
Why you say that?
I'm not saying it. That's what they're saying.
Okay.
I'm repeating what I heard.
Right.
And so this was not from one guy. This was from multiple people. They feel like run defense is not very good.
They're hurting the pass rush now.
They won't have a pass rush. And I think it was that me and you or me and Mike? James Pierce, has the ruling officially come down
for him? Games,
it is 8 games.
Yeah.
And I tried to tell some people that it would be 8 games, and he may appeal it down to 6. But the league, and when they did the new CBA, it was a hard 8. That's what it was. You know, when you can talk about, well, there's no court, they don't care, just like – and that being the NFL. Just like we talked about in preseason, they fine you the full amount of a regular season. That's no different. I'm not even talking about what he did. I'm just talking about how the ruling affects. You know, and he's got great attorneys. They did their job. It's been adjudicated, the whole nine in that sense.
But the court of the NFL is different.
100% different. It's different because the NFL, the video that's out there, they can't take that away.
Right.
The articles that are out there, they can't take that away. And so for them, you have brought bad publicity
to the shield.
To the shield. And that's ultimately what it's about. Now, you can work out a deal with the, you know, those officers, the young lady, that's almost totally different. And he's going about doing that. But they're still going to hold him to a standard that you know, sometimes outside of even the game, you may think it's not fair, but that's how they operate. Now, there may be something totally different that some people feel strongly about, and it's like, wait, the league did what? That's all they did?
Right.
Or there was no findings. They felt that there was not enough findings for them to get truly involved. And so pass rush becomes an issue because you had already lost, Jalen Walker, you lost him to injury, and now Pierce won't be available for 8 games, and they were already iffy on the run defense
We've got Caden Ellis back now.
We've got Caden back. So thank you, Caden.
I think Onyemata's gone over there, huh?
I don't know if Big O. Big O's probably gone as well. But, I mean, they've lost a lot.
Right.
They've lost a lot. But then the big question mark. The big question mark. Quarterback.
The main piece.
Because you got a Ferrari at running back.
No doubt.
You got a, you know, give me another fancy sports car on the outside.
A Bugatti?
Give me a Bugatti. And then you got a Lamborghini inside that's a flex tight end. So, I mean, you've got the toys. You've got the toys. But, man.
You got a Ford Focus at quarterback.
It ain't even a Ford Focus. You got a beat up 40-year-old Toyota Camry at quarterback. I mean, and it's just.
Hey, at least the Camry will last you, though.
It's on its last leg. I told you 40 years old. I didn't say it was 20 years old. It's a 40-year-old Camry. You can't even get parts anymore for that Camry, baby. I mean, they working on it. And so they brought in Tua. Tua is not the answer. And you're hoping Penix. You're hoping Mike can hold up. I mean, you're literally hoping that he can hold up.
Even
and
when he has held up, though, there's nothing that's wowed you.
Nah, he's got some wow to him now. He's got. I'm not going to sit there and say that the kid doesn't have some talent. He has some talent. It may be questionable some of the things that he does, but the kid has some talent. The young man has the rifle of an arm. He has a rifle for an arm. But you know, the question becomes is, can he move? And I know he made the statement in one of the interviews. His doctors told him that he would not have any more issues out of the knees. Coming from a young man that has had 8 knee surgeries, no doctor
like, how can
tell
you say that?
You cannot. And so he may have felt that way, but that's not possible. It's not. And from an ethical standpoint, the doctor probably can't even say that. You know, if he's saying it, he's joking. It's just not possible.
Well,
but
yeah.
that's where we at.
Like you mentioned, you got the high-priced sports cars all around you. The biggest question is QB. I'm curious, does this team go out and trying to find a veteran to add to that team after cuts?
Possibly.
Or you kind of got it is what it is for them.
Yeah, I think it may be.
They might be in the march for Arch.
Arch and some other quarterbacks as well. I think, you know, you got Sellers, you got a few quarterbacks. I think that'll bounce back, at least that we thought that would come out this past year that didn't. But it's a loaded draft class next year.
If you want to sound off here on Sports Talk with Deuce McAllister, 504-260-1870 is the number on the Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Breaking right now, coming back with more right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Folks, if you need a new garage door, you can win one from WWL. Hurricane and storms can put every part of your home to the test, including your garage door. While WWL and Ace Garage Door are giving you a chance to win the Hurricane Ready Garage Door Giveaway with a brand new garage door and installation that's worth up to $2,500. You can enter win right now at WWL.com/contest for your chance to win. Get your home ready for the next storm threat that threatens with Ace Garage Door and WWL. Storms seem to be coming for the Saints and the injuries. I mentioned the fact that we're just hoping that the remaining few practices here going into the preseason finale and the game as well. You always talk about it, just hoping to come out of that game unscathed and nobody gets banged up. But it's just, you know, been so rough this year. And I'm sure it happens every season. It just seems to be amplified right now because we're in the moment. But it almost, like every game, when someone gets tackled, it seemed like the Saints were coming up limping with something.
Football is a physical sport.
Yes,
indeed. And right now we're going through a little storm. I do believe that at some point those birds will chirp again. We will have flowers that will bloom. We just got to survive and get there. You know, we're just going through a storm right now as far as injuries are concerned.
And I know every team goes through this storm.
Yeah, but, I mean, we just like we talked earlier, we can't be concerned with other teams. You know, we can't be concerned with it. You know, our job is to talk about this New Orleans Saints team and, you know, what issues that they're dealing with. And, you know, the question and the hope is, it was one texter that I was talking to about, you know, whether the ones or the twos were playing.
Yeah.
at some point, you want that second and slash third player to potentially be a starter. So I can't just excuse him making those mistakes. At some point, the hope is that he will be the starter for you.
Yeah, like we talked about, a Jeremiah Wright, your young guy, you're developing and maybe steps into that starting role. Hopefully steps into that starting role.
At some point.
Yeah. Taking a break for top of the hour news, coming back with another hour of sports talk. Then it's the Saints hour at 7 p.m., but we'll be back right after this.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.